Yo, it's the most dope show. It's about that time to get live. Take a break from your 8 to 5. Them other guys don't have the ability to rip it. We kick it. Three guys on, representing with the most killer spirit. And we coming with the jokes, so you better grab a good pen and pad for your notes. And forget them other folks, cause we got the best quotes. Randolph does more than just jokers. He woke and he got the files. Tell Andy Klein to turn up the dial. I don't know where that boy Tim is now. Raising a daughter, he hella proud. Andy is straight up and Randolph ain't here for racist. When Tim Miller hit, that got funny as shit. The sock puppets always be there to assist. Too many to name, but they all of this shit. I guess I could try. Love me some Frankie French. Milner and
Mike B.
Be lit. I cannot forget about Petey and Chris. J.L. Covan with them Trump impressions. Riding Cameron coming from the black guy who tips. That's a whole damn nation, so they always near. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Getting green, romaine. Three guys on sock puppet nation. Gang, gang.
Yeah. What up,
Dominic?
Puerto Rico, Suave. I know you thought I forgot about you, but I ain't forget about you, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, Suave.
It's the 50th anniversary of hip hop, everyone.
Yep.
Well, it was Friday, the 11th.
Right. I mean, it's the whole summer,
was the
really.
The day that.
Cool Herc threw a party.
Sisters, no, it was his sister who threw the party. She hired for him.
Well, it's also not
to DJ the party, and he played breakbeats, and that was that.
I mean, there was an article on OK Player about how
the day.
Somewhat oversimplified that story has gotten, but it's the lore now of the birth of hip hop. So I guess. August 11th, 1973 was the date of that party, that particular one. But there had been parties before that, and there were DJs doing similar things before that. It just became became the date that people
landed. And I would expect that to happen because that's always what happens. Well, you know, that happened before. Okay.
Well, it did, though. It's he didn't just out of whole cloth invent this thing. It's just everyone was feeding off everyone. Cool Herc was pretty popular, though. He was only 18, I think, at the time of that the infamous party, but everything jumped off from there.
I'm looking at this thing online. Apparently somebody, this girl Candidly Tiff, I don't know who she is, did a whole breakdown of why Merrick Garland granted David Weiss special counsel status. Simple answer: because David Weiss requested it. Let's look at the timeline of what happened in the last year, since once again Garland was second guess and called a punk. And then she has a whole breakdown.
It has something to do with Hunter Biden's case, where they removed his plea deal, and there's other stuff. I mean, I don't know if it can be super simplified, but I'm fine with it.
Well, it's not super simplified, because the girl who posted that thing said, look, this is a CVS thread, the CVS receipt length thread, thread of receipts, but just give it a ring if you want to know.
Right.
You know. What's her at?
Her at is, well, you know who reposted it was, you know, if you follow Portia McDougal?
No.
She's a tough one. You know who she is? Black chick? Portia McDougal. This girl's name is Candidly Tiff, T-I-F-F. Okay. TIFY3030 at at TIFY330. Tiffy. Okay. At Tiffy.
Is she like a journalist or something?
330. She is a. No, Andy, she is a wife and a mother. She's a Maryland resident. Born and raised in Brooklyn.
She follows me.
Afro Latina. She has 25,000 followers. She's followed by Harry Dunn, Rex Chapman.
Well, she followed by my girl Reese Cobert, so I know she must
are be they, people. Well, now that they're getting ready to like unleash the dogs on Hunter Biden, do you think anybody's going to like go after Clarence Thomas for his Alderman Davis bullshit?
I hope so.
That shit is.
I don't think they're even really releasing the dogs on Hunter Biden. I think they're really just like following the putting up saying, look, we are investigating him because we know ain't shit gonna be here. Like all these Republican conspiracy theories and shit, they're just gonna debunk him and be like, so look, we looked into that. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, what about your boy? The evidence is we have way more evidence for shit he's done than anything on that cokehead's laptop. So let's fucking get to it. I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand, but I wish and hope we can at some point get Congress and the Senate back to some level of like competence between, like, because I think Republicans just have rejected even trying to do the job. Mm-hmm. Like they're just up there like doing shit for the gram at this point.
Yep.
But if we actually had some competent people in the Congress and the Senate, I feel like they could pass some laws and some rules. Mm-hmm. Well, you can rein in these Supreme Court justices, because right now it's like Republicans obviously are the ones, the conservative Supreme Court justices are the ones that have zero fucking shame.
Right.
But that whole system is ripe for abuse, and it has to be reined in, and only Congress can do that shit.
Zero.
They're not gonna.
But I keep seeing these articles about, like, you know, certain individuals within the GOP are, like, you know, quote unquote, fighting for the soul of the party. I'm like, that ship has sailed a long time ago.
Right.
Like, you know, you really missed that opportunity. Yeah. You missed that opportunity by at least a decade.
Right. And they're never really fighting, right? They say they're fighting, but, you know, when you see somebody fighting, you know who was fighting? Liz Cheney was fighting. I don't even fuck with Liz Cheney, but, like, she put her name on that shit. Like, I don't fuck with Donald Trump. Fuck him. And I'm trying to ride on this dude. And I said, damn, she really about it. That, like, Republicans will count, like, Mitt Romney is fighting. And I'm like, he don't fight. Mitt Romney is like a guy that raises his hand politely to be like, I asked for no mayonnaise on my sandwich. And then the rest of the Republicans are like, shut up, bitch, you're gonna eat that mayonnaise. He's like, I'll just eat the mayonnaise. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. But I'm not gonna like it. I'm gonna say I object to mayonnaise. But I will go ahead and shovel it in my mouth. Go ahead and shovel it all in there. And I think a lot of people, because it's the internet, a lot of people ascribe things to Merrick Garland that really he's not about.
Right.
The internet is so much about performative gestures.
Mm-hmm.
And
not results.
People are saying, well, Merrick Garland is only doing this because he wants the appearance of, legitimacy in case they ever say he's being illegitimate. Well, fuck them. They're never going to say anything about it. They're never going to call him illegitimate, so he shouldn't do it. But he's not doing it for that reason. That's a performative internet reason to do things. He's doing it because that's the right thing to do as far as he's concerned. And he's not really caring about the performative nature of it. So a lot of people ascribe qualities to him that he's not even thinking about. He's just saying this is what's done in these situations. You hire a special counsel because this reason and that reason, and then you move on. And everyone's like, oh, he's doing it for this and that. No, he's not. And that's how you know someone is sort of too online, because they're only seeing it as the way they would do things, which is performative, big performative flourishes and gestures to send signals to people. Merrick Garland has never indicated that he's that type of person. Mm-hmm. He just does it because he feels like in the moment that's what he should do and that's the right thing to do, and he's bound by that. So the Hunter Biden thing, or even Jack Smith, it was never him trying to make himself seem legitimate so Republicans will stop talking shit about him, but they're not going to stop talking shit about him. So what's he doing anyway? And all these other things that people are saying. Occam's razor, he's just doing it because that's what he feels like is the right thing to do in that moment. And that's always been the way he's operated.
It also ascribes a letter. It also ascribes a level of power that the pundits and the social media people want to be like, Merrick Garland is somewhere shaking in his boots, reading tweets, you know?
Right.
And it's like, I don't think he is, guys.
He's just trying to do a job.
He seems like a soft-spoken, out-of-the-media motherfucker that just, who from day one has just been like, I said I'll follow this shit to the top. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone, because I'm just trying to do my job. Now, somebody, if the levers of power fuck this up to where he can't be got, it won't be because Merrick Garland was pulling up short word about MSNBC. He doesn't seem to have rabbit ears in that way.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And you can second guess and say he should have done this, or I wish he would have done that. But to sort of assign that reasoning, which is the reasoning that reveals how they think. Right. Is unfair. And I think it's people revealing things about themselves more than illuminating something about the way Merrick Garland operates.
And I think they would like him to be like that because they're like that. And like when people talking bad about me on Twitter, I have to respond. And
yeah,
or you know, I can't live in a, if someone doesn't like me or disagrees with me, I need to say something. And I think that man just like, this is the job. I don't know if y'all noticed, half the fucking country wants to kill me anyway.
Right.
So a few more motherfuckers that don't like me on Twitter really not moving the way y'all think.
And when he does say something or do something, people say, oh, he's saying it this because of this and that.
Right.
And he's not. It's just they think he's saying it due to some kind of because he's beholden to the way Twitter operates or social media in general. And he just seems to be completely disconnected from that. I mean, special counsels seem to be the right move as far as he's concerned. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but there are plenty of people saying this is what you should do if you're him, not for any reason to benefit him politically or get him out of hot water with his critics. He's just doing it because that's what you do, you know?
As to Clarence Thomas, there's no reason for him. He's not the only one who's taking grift. It's always the Republicans. Mm-hmm. All the Republicans, I would imagine that, except maybe Roberts, definitely Alito. Or
probably not Gorsuch. Alito and Thomas are the two biggest offenders.
Definitely. They're taking grift. They're, mm-hmm. as Larry was saying, they're on their Alderman Davis taking that. Yeah. Or what's the dude in Barbershop? The alderman who was in Barbershop. What was his name?
I don't remember.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
The alderman. No, I'm thinking like that guy from The Wire that was always going, shit, that guy.
Clay Davis. Yes.
Yeah. Clay Davis.
Clay Davis. Yeah, well, Alderman Davis was in Good Times.
Yep.
Remember the alderman? And he was always taking some, he was always on some shady shit.
Yep.
He was always on some shady shit. Like Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, that's it. No, both, like, I met Alderman Davis from Good Times and Clay Davis from, you know, the. Yeah.
He just takes shit and he wants to be rich and they've made him rich. Mm-hmm. They gave him, and if you expect me to believe that they're not getting anything back in return, you'd be out of your fucking mind.
Right.
You're an idiot.
Like mixtapes. Every time you turn around, it's like new shit, yeah. New law broken. Right. I'm like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, this latest article
in the chat room, Kavanaugh did have his debts repaid. His debts paid off. Huge debts gone.
Just I believe they said his parents ultimately paid that off because
they did. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, the people were like, what people say, who paid them off? And then someone comes forward and says, well, here's some information that his parents did. And people are like, I don't believe it.
Wait, hold on. So he had these debts before he got the Supreme Court gig, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like $200,000.
Right. So, all right, look, I got a job with the state and I had to go through a background check and a credit check to get this job. Like, how does somebody who is that deep into debt get
because his parents paid the debt off.
Okay.
Now they paid it off. Now, at this point in his life, they paid it off. Now they paid it off. Not before, when all this is being accrued or anything like that. Now, specifically in this moment in time, they paid the debt off. Specifically now, they paid the debt off. Not before, as he was accruing the debt or as he's been sitting on this debt. Because $200,000 is not a debt that you just wake up tomorrow and you have $200,000 in debt. No, now. Yeah. Now we're just going to pay it off
for you
because, you know, we love you, son.
It's also, I guess, at least a bit intriguing because we do know that some of the money that went to Clarence Thomas went to his family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like the parents aren't the get out of jail free card that they would have been before I knew that motherfuckers was giving. Like, that's some blue chip shit.
You give the parents the job, you give the parents the money,
they give it to the kid, and then you like, oh yeah, listen, nothing to see here. His parents had money. Yeah. I just watched the documentary Untold on Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
And they were talked about how he was getting that money under the table, you know, from the signing the autographs and stuff. And one of the cover story they came up with was his parents had a lot of money. And that's why he was rich, and that's why he was driving around all this shit. His parents didn't have any money. Nobody checked, nobody cared.
Yeah, I remember that story. It was a rich family. He came from a, and people use that to criticize him too. Like, you know, he's a rich kid, acting like a rich kid.
He was just fucking, you know, getting money under the table. Not that I'm against NCAA athletes getting money under the table, but the point being, all these journalists and all the apparatuses in place that you think are, you know, the NCAA are supposed to be checking on this, they got away with that. They didn't reveal that information till this fucking documentary came out.
As DB is saying in the chat room, I wouldn't be surprised if some billionaire gave his parents the money to pay his debts off, talking about Kavanaugh. No, DB, that doesn't happen in this country. I don't know.
That would be immoral. Even
imply that. That's not something that would ever happen.
That would definitely be unethical.
Who would ever think to do that?
And no, just to clarify, no billionaire
would think to do that.
Just to clarify on Kavanaugh. So this is the Washington Post in 2016. I think he was nominated or confirmed in 2018, maybe 2019. In 2016, Kavanaugh reported having between $60,000 and $200,000 in debt accrued over three credit cards.
Anyway, let's just talk about that. That window.
And it was like baseball tickets that he spent.
Can we talk about that window for a second? $60,000 to $200,000.
Yeah.
$60,000 or three times $60,000.
Well, and this is 2016. $60,000 to $200,000 in that range.
I'm not sure.
Give or take.
give or take a few thousand.
Yeah.
Each credit card held between $15,000 and $50,000 in debt. So he had a range of credit cards with debt on them. And a thrift savings plan loan was between $15,000 and $50,000 as well. The credit card debts and loan were either paid off or fell below the reporting requirements in 2017, according to the filings, which do not require details or on the nature or source of such payments. Shaw told the Post that Kavanaugh's friends reimbursed him for their share of the baseball tickets, because remember, it was national season tickets that was a lot of the debt, supposedly. And the judge has since stopped purchasing the season tickets. So all that was cleared up before the Supreme Court nomination. It wasn't he got nominated and then his debt went away. He didn't report anything in 2017 because it was below the threshold by then. 2016 is when he had between 60 and 200. People,
because the Federalist Society and stuff doesn't think about as far as greasing the skids towards having a Supreme Court judge. They don't think about greasing the skids of people that they're elevating and buoying up. They don't do that.
My point though is that the way it went down was not he was nominated, he had all this debt, and his debt disappeared mysteriously. That all kind of happened in the years leading up to his nomination. And I remember the thing about Nationals season tickets was a big part of it. He liked baseball and beer.
And beer.
I like beer mostly, baseball sometimes. And by the time 2017 came around, he was below the threshold. And I think 2018 was the year he was nominated for Supreme Court.
So what you're telling me is that right up before his nomination, his debt seemed to disappear.
Yeah, it went down below the reporting threshold. It didn't disappear completely.
That would may as well be disappear.
Kavanaugh's most recent, this is an article from that time period. Kavanaugh's financial disclosure forms reveal reportable assets between 15 and 65,000. That's like your house, your car, shit, which would put him at the bottom of the financial rankings of justices, most of which list well over 1 million in assets. The value of residences is not subject to disclosure. Okay, so outside of his house, he had between 15 and 65,000 in assets. And I guess his liabilities fell below the threshold to report in 2017. This article is from July of 2018, which I think is when it was ramping up that he was being nominated. Because then it was like September when they had the hearings of 2018.
So what you're telling me is that before he was nominated,
his friends paid him back for the baseball tickets.
He's being groomed. Seemed to disappear.
Yeah. It was the all the baseball, you know, here's what happens. Sometimes you front all your friends for the ticket price. You know, you're like, I'm going to pay for the tickets. You guys pay me back when you can. And then next thing you know, you've paid for $200,000. In baseball tickets.
For tickets,
and your friends still haven't hit you back, and you're like, hey guys, can you go ahead and pay me back? And they did, And in 2017, it was all gone.
Ah,
what you're saying is that so, before but that's he was nominated, all his debts disappeared.
It seemed to go away in about a year's time period. But that's the chronology of it. And then the year after that, he was nominated for the Supreme Court.
Okay, so my question is this: does he ever have to pay for a baseball ticket ever again?
I don't know. He loves baseball.
Yeah, so I'm beers. Guessing he'll probably pay
for beers.
I don't know. He hasn't been spotted at a game. I would assume we would have seen if he was spotted at a Nats game, or at the bar in the concourse somewhere. So anyway, Clarence Thomas, though, the latest article on him is, by the way, remember all this shit? Oh, there's 38 new vacations that we've disclosed.
Oh, that's what we know
38.
About.
So far.
Well, I mean, let's be fair to him too, Andy. I mean, he was just going on vacations. It doesn't mean he was trading favors.
Oh, no.
For his rulings may have been the same way no matter what happened. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's be accurate here. He went on 38 vacations, but I mean,
some people ain't went on.
We don't know that that's lifetime immoral or unethical or malfeasance just because.
I ain't saying things don't look fishy, but I'm telling you right now, if I show up in a country going on a vacation that customs knows for a fact I can't afford, I'm getting investigated. At the airport with rubber gloves.
who are you here to see? What business do you have in our country?
You flew first class, and you normally don't be able to afford first class. Okay. Right. That's.
We're gonna have to go ahead and give you another colonoscopy while you're here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Put this robe on,
and we're gonna check all your luggage.
This latest article about Clarence Thomas is, I think it's all like billionaires, the same kind of deal, but it's just new trips, basically.
A new crop shit. Of billionaires.
Yeah.
He
goes to exotic new locations. New Kung Fu
Kenny.
I like mixtapes, dog.
Kung Fu Clarence.
Helicopter.
Uncle Clarence.
A cadre of industry titans and ultra-wealthy executives have treated him to far-flung vacations aboard their yachts, ushered him into the premium suites at sporting events, and sent their private jets to fetch him, including on more than one occasion, an entire 737, a private 737. It's a stream of luxury. I think you
mean sent their private jets to step and fetch him?
Right. You might have accidentally missed the word there.
I think a cadre of industrial titans, a cadre.
Yeah, you know how many
people in a cadre is?
He letting them pee on his chest, dog.
Oh no! He doing something strange for a little change.
Oh, apparently,
a lot of paninis.
Unaffiliated thing. Derek Jeter pulled up to celebrate hip hop 50th. In the Bronx at the stadium last night. They pulled him up. So, okay, players put it on their Instagram.
That sounds about right.
They're trying to get black on us? Okay.
Someone mentioned in the chat that remember Clarence Thomas's RV?
Going to them Walmart.
The one that makes him a regular person?
He goes to Walmart parking lot.
Just like us.
Yeah. Turns out someone bought that for him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like regular
over 200,000.
If you got a cadre of billionaires willing to fly you anywhere on the planet that you want to go to for free, what in the fuck do you have an RV for?
Yeah, because he's a regular person, Larry.
Because he likes to park outside of the
Walmart. So you tell me, like, you know, you want to go camping instead of staying at the Four Seasons?
Yes, Larry. Mm-hmm. He is a regular American. He is a regular red-blooded American who wants to take away rights from black people in this country. He's just a regular American.
I'll climb these steps, but I will burn the steps behind me. Nobody else should come up after me.
When does this shoe line come out?
Air Justice.
He is a regular American. That's all you need to know.
Come wear my surprises.
You're gonna have some bad shoes.
This accounting of Thomas's travel revealed for the first time here from an array of previously unavailable information is the fullest today of generosity that has regularly afforded Thomas a lifestyle far beyond what his income could provide.
Listen, if it's almost certainly not account. The press would stop looking and maybe go look at what these other Democrat judges are doing.
Why y'all looking at my rate?
Go for it. Look at somebody else's. Go ahead and dig into the finances of all the justices and careful what you ask for on that one.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing for me. That's why I said earlier, Congress needs to pass some type of rules because
they ain't gonna do nothing.
Right. Right. But it's not just it's a loophole that is in there for any justice to take advantage of. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like it's like people think it's just gonna like Republicans are the most shameless.
Right.
But I guarantee you, like, it's loopholes for selling books, fucking giving talks, vacations, you know, like you'd be a damn fool if you wanted like legislation in your favor and you was a billionaire and you could fly one of the seven most important motherfuckers on the planet out or nine most. Like if you could do that, you gonna do it. Like people that are guy, pieces that of guy shit.
On the left looked like one of the demons in what was the movie with Keanu Reeves about the same
Constantine. Oh,
that's Wayne Huizenga.
The one where he had magical powers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That nigga said magical powers like 75 times.
He looked like the demon that was training him.
Is it something 47 Ronin?
47 Ronin. Yeah, he looked like the demon in that dude on the left.
He owned the Dolphins, right? Wayne Huizenga?
Yes.
I mean, he died a few years ago, but he owned the Dolphins. That's why he's wearing the Dolphins pin in this picture.
Looking at all three of those guys, look at all those guys. I don't think they should be flying Supreme Court justices all over the globe. They should be flying hoes and kids.
Right.
Yeah.
They probably do. I mean, they do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The hoes is moving too now.
They probably fly hoes and Supreme Court justices.
Yeah. They moving all the way. Damn.
Oh, man. So Clarence Thomas comes back from a trip and Ginny's like, were the hoes there? She's got to make sure the hoes weren't getting all over her husband.
They don't care.
Yeah,
she walked. Ginny walked in, and she was like, Ginny, "Let me smell your dick."
Ginny get herself a BBC that's taking care of her, while Clarence.
She worried about that man. I believe that.
I don't think Clarence Thompson's wife has that level of street knowledge enough to like, you know, smell the dick.
There's all these pictures they pulled up. Tom Osborne in the suite with Clarence Thomas. 2019.
Come on, really?
No more. He look like he kind
of right Ichabod Crane, slave owner looking guy. Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
He was the coach of Nebraska for years, right? Tom Osborne.
Yeah, the stadium is named after him.
Did Clarence even go to Nebraska?
His wife did.
Yeah. There's him with, I guess, some other Nebraska people.
How you gonna be black and the worst dressed guy in that picture?
Hey, this is Walmart clothes. This is what you do when you drive your RV.
He looks like the manager at Walmart.
Yeah.
Not the head manager, like the deli manager.
Yes,
What's Nebraska's mascot?
Back up.
Cornhusker.
Is it the corn shuckers?
Cornhusker.
Oh, my bad. Huskers. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I go any place that looks like that, I'm expected to be hunted.
Yeah.
Look at these antlers everywhere.
Oh no.
That ain't nothing but the inside of a Cracker Barrel.
I do like the Cracker Barrel.
No. There's not a spinneret of Travis Tritt and Carrie Underwood CDs.
This
can't be Cracker Barrel.
This is white. This is rich people's Cracker Barrel. This is Cracker Barrel for billionaires.
Look like the opening scene to Surviving
Cracker Barrel Plus.
Yep.
They took down three of those Americana flags and just left all the other decor up.
I was just getting ready to say, what was that movie with Ice-T?
It was Surviving the Game.
Yeah. I was like, this looks like the bar scene.
These are saddles for bar stools.
They're saddles?
Yeah. How bizarre. And there's a pool table, these giant antlers. It's a very, I would feel very uncomfortable in this little
rich
bar,
people and poor
I
people.
Would,
are,
I would
are
love, so- I would love to see what black people would do decorating with that kind of money.
shit probably look like the inside of Donald Trump house with all that gold.
Yes, gold everywhere.
We actually know what that looks gold like because we've seen cribs.
That's true.
They don't own those houses.
First of all, they're gonna put up Scarface posters.
Those houses are rented. those houses and cribs, except for Redman's, that was the only real.
That's the realest cribs of all time.
Yeah, all the other ones, like Lil Wayne baby, they would have all these mansions. There would be like a PlayStation and some couches in one room, and some bottles of Cristal or whatever. But then the rest of the house looked like nobody lived in it.
Right.
And then do they have like, is there a service that rents out Scarface posters for the day? Like you can just,
I guess. Hang I it mean, up. You can get those anywhere. You
I remember when
who ben... was the dude that had the flat screen TV with the fat bottom, but he cut it out and stuck it into the wall?
That was, who was my man was in Goody Mob?
CeeLo?
That was CeeLo's.
Okay, so yeah, he might have had one of the realest ones too.
That was CeeLo's.
I think what would it look like if black people had this kind of money? Look at Ben Simmons' house after he moved out of Philly, and he put his mansion on the market so you could go on Zillow and shit and look through it.
Really?
Yeah, this shit like just like a neon video game. It's like
well, he's young.
It's like
though,
a child.
So.
It was like a child. Yeah. A child got $1 billion.
He's not a good representative because he's a kid. You know,
this shit was funny as hell.
That ain't gonna make it not funny.
Yeah. I'm looking at that. There's an article I just pulled up. It said inside Brooklyn Nets star Ben Simmons' $20 million modern LA mansion. I guess he's had multiple.
Oh, he's got another one. Okay.
This one's more classy. This one looks like it's more mature. He's a little grown up, I guess. This article's from 20, built in 2021. So it's pretty new.
Okay. This is what he was doing. You know why? Because he wasn't playing basketball. So he had time to like actually really get into the interior decorating.
Right.
Oh, that's actually pretty.
Yeah, it looks good now.
Yeah.
It low key kind of looked a little bit like that shit we was just looking at with all that wood paneling.
It's got a little bit of saddles. That's not antlers, but it's close.
Trophies or
I don't like the chairs. The chairs look like something out of The Simpsons, but
it looked like the kids' table type chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is obviously, it looks like no one even lives there. There's nothing. No indication of people in this place.
Yeah.
It's a rich person's house.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
I feel like rich people and poor people have a lot in common, but we don't talk about it in America.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Like the way that we name our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at like celebrity white people, they be naming their kids all kinds of shit you can't put on a resume.
Like,
but then if you look at like broke people, we be giving our kids names you can't put on resumes.
I wonder if Billy Porter's house is on Zillow yet.
Oh man, I wonder.
There's also another Ben Simmons. How many houses has Ben Simmons gone through?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He got a lot of money and not a lot to do.
That's his jersey home right there.
He should rent. I mean, there's no reason to be owning all this shit.
Yeah.
Why is he buying a house in any place that he plays? He know he's not going to be there long.
It's like a zebra stripe marble counter, granite counter. That's very weird looking.
They call it like waterfall marble.
Yeah.
Pricey as all. Yeah.
This room is a little extra. I don't know what's happening here.
The only thing that's missing is the pole.
Right? No sex in the champagne room.
That's the champagne room.
Yeah, that's the champagne room.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's the lounge.
That's youthful dumb shit right there.
That coffee table sinks into the floor and his stripper pole descends from the ceiling somewhere.
Some James Bond shit, we just don't see it right now, but this is switching there somewhere.
I also like thinking about this as a grown ass man of a certain age. Walking through this shit to get to the kitchen would just make me feel like a loser. Why the fuck do I got this?
So many barriers.
It's like you got a VIP section at the club or something.
Right. I'd be like, I gotta grow up. I gotta grow up. This should be an exercise room or some shit.
He's got this dining table. He ain't got that many friends.
I know. It's just, what's the point of that?
Well, here's the logic for Ben Simmons. I know what I'm not gonna be doing, which is playing basketball and working out. So if I'm gonna have a house, it need to basically be a palace, because I'm gonna spend way more time here than any place else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. It's got like,
Ben Simmons is the only basketball player.
This is the kind of shit you got when you have a family and all y'all watching television together. You ain't got nobody to share that shit with.
Look at that.
Ben Simmons
aquarium.
The only basketball player that call out sick.
He ain't got no family hanging out.
This is like the room you build when you know that you're gonna watch a movie high on edibles and then not want to walk to your bedroom once the movie's over. You're gonna be too sleepy, so you just gonna sleep on the big ass couch until you're ready to wake up.
Or not go to practice.
Yeah. Right.
How many times you think he called Doc Rivers from this couch?
Right.
Oh, I didn't see any basketball
that
courts.
That shit look comfortable.
Indoor or outdoor.
Right.
On any of these properties.
I'm not going to make it in today, Doc. I'm feeling a little under the weather.
You know that couch is comfortable as shit, too.
Is that Fast and Furious in the background? Huh? Nah. Let's turn that down.
We're doing this 1/4 mile at a time.
It must be interference or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, man. Come on, turn it down.
And this is his home in Philadelphia, which, again, he just keeps buying and selling houses.
He's got a house in New Jersey and Philadelphia. That's what the fuck?
Yeah, because he went from Philly to New Jersey.
They're 30 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, he could have just had that one house in Philly and just rolled back and forth.
He's like, shit.
The days he showed up, anyway.
Y'all sound like broke niggas. That's what he's. If he was listening to this right now,
he's like, "Who trying to drive?
You can take the train."
This seems a little sparse. I mean, maybe
this must be the New Jersey one.
That's Philly.
Philly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, that's the Philly one. Wow.
Yeah, that's the one he sold in Philly. It's like it's a condo in a high rise.
Huh.
So it wasn't like a standalone.
So then he had two houses in Philly because one of them has a fucking gamer basement thing.
Right.
But like chairs and for Twitch and streaming. Like it was some elaborate shit. This actually looks kind of grown up.
Yeah, that's why he didn't like it. So he was like, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta go play some video games. This is bullshit.
He's like, this ain't colorful enough.
I'm so bored, I might go to work. I might play basketball today. This is crazy.
He goes to practice with a cell phone in his pocket.
He did do that.
Yeah.
He actually did that shit.
He's a shoot around with a cell phone in his pocket.
God damn, Ben Simmons. He low-key living a dream.
Oh, okay. The gamer basement was in this Philadelphia home.
Okay.
Okay.
This is one we looked at before, but that picture wasn't in it.
Okay.
This is the man.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely not anywhere
near. That's a lot of house for Pennsylvania, even if it is Philadelphia still.
Right.
This is the one with the marble. And then if you scroll down further there, look at that. He's got LAN parties.
Again, he doesn't have this many friends, man.
You can have LAN parties in your own house. Why would you do that? I don't know. But
why would you?
He's got gamer chairs and he's got all the cliche shit.
Yeah, so you got
training
like,
the team or something?
Three different stations or something. Yeah, what the?
I bet he doesn't even game. He just
this used to be my home gym, but I didn't use it. So.
I got rid of the Peloton.
Imagine waking up and playing video games alone.
In this
room. You just in that big ass room in one chair playing like Mortal Kombat by yourself.
Right.
Okay. That'll make you feel like more of a loser than just playing like how I do on my couch. Like right. If I had a couch, but it had like 12 gaming chairs and nobody was with me, I feel like I ain't got no friends.
All right. Right. I want to know, what is it about rich people that they have to have a bathtub in front of a window?
Yeah, it's weird. Like it's got to get
that is some rich people shit right there.
Yeah,
like, ain't nobody gonna be looking in your windows.
A gigantic freestanding bathtub in front of a window.
Mm-hmm.
All the
curtains either.
All the celebrities that have the house where it's mostly glass, I don't get it.
Yeah,
like I don't know what you're trying to say to me, dog.
Like and then the kitchen with the gigantic stove with the 8 burners on it, like, who are you cooking for?
That's what I'm saying.
Look at the side of the refrigerator
on the 8 burner stove.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as a single man,
got a popcorn machine. What the hell?
How does this house not make you feel lonelier? It would make me feel more lonely to have this much fucking house that's going unused. Because you know he waking up and either someone's making food for him, he ordering out, or if a rare everything falls through, he's making himself scrambled eggs with cheese.
Imagine
refrigerated from the restaurant place.
I think this is one of those real estate pictures where they stretch out the edges to make the room bigger, but this looks like a restaurant level. Yeah.
Imagine having to walk through your house for a good 30 to 45 minutes to turn off the lights out every night.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, this will make you feel like the loneliest motherfucker on earth, dog.
You'd be like, shit, I left the light off. This is a 15-minute walk.
Yeah.
This is the place where 7-Eleven keeps the pizza warm. This is one of those little warmer.
No, devices. See, it's hot dogs are rotating. I think that's like where Wawa keeps the breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, this is hot and fresh.
Yeah.
And then the stuffed pretzels. That? Yeah.
Why does he have that?
Yeah, a picture of a donut for his art is a picture of a donut.
Right, just a big ass donut.
Who's that? This is the gaming set. Who's that extra he hired?
That's his buddy who games with him. He's all tatted up. Yeah. He's hardcore.
He probably a professional gamer.
I bet you he is.
Now imagine y'all playing this shit and y'all in the same room.
Right.
Y'all in the same room.
Yeah, he could have stayed home. Yeah.
Right. Like y'all know how the internet work, right?
Right. You didn't have to drive over there for that.
His friend is FaZe Temper with three R's.
Oh. His friend doesn't even have a real name.
I think he's a gamer. They maybe all have like names.
Maybe his friend is AI.
He doesn't exist.
The AI.
Somebody suggested that in the chat room. Like, well, maybe.
Yeah, he wants to be a professional gamer, it looks like, more than anything else. Simmons logo sits at the center of the table. A gigantic fish tank with neon blue lights above it sits across from the table. The 76ers guard quickly points out that one of the fish is poisonous. Of course it is.
Oh, you child. You child.
The pool room leads to a candy kitchen where Simmons has collected and stored candy from tons of brands. Skittles, M&M's, Sour Patch Kids.
He's 11 years old.
That's not really a candy kitchen as much as it's a candy storeroom.
Right.
Does he have an insulin tank somewhere in that house?
That's what I want. He's 11 years old is what's going on.
He also has a drawer filled in imported chocolate bars from his native Australia.
I mean, if I got rich at 11, I would have a candy kitchen.
Yeah. He's living the life.
You don't have a candy kitchen. You're not making candy. You're storing candy.
Right.
He's living the life. He's getting NBA money to sit at home, play video games, and eat fucking candy and go into the VIP stripper pole room.
It is offensive. It's offensive that this guy's getting NBA pussy. That's offensive.
He ain't got to do any of the work for it.
He ain't doing nothing. He's not even practicing like the 12th guy on the bench who's out there fucking giving it up in practice every day. He ain't even doing that.
Mm-hmm. He's not even the sixth man. He's like the 18th man.
Listen, if he doesn't love basketball, which I'm guessing he doesn't, then he's living a dream, man.
Yep.
I'm not mad at him. I'm jealous.
Everybody want to get overpaid for doing nothing.
I'm jealous. I would have been this age with this access to this much shit. I would have been just as childish.
Every picture of him. Candy room too.
Oh, yeah, I would have most of the house would be candy. I'd be eating the walls.
It'll
be a gingerbread house.
Ridiculous. I'd be tearing out pieces out of the wall. You know you can eat this, right?
Yeah, you can just eat the wall.
It tastes just like Skittles. That's
the
wall.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I be telling people, lick the doughnut.
Like my question is this: like if you had like a ridiculous amount of money and money wasn't an issue, what would be the most superfluous room you would build for yourself in your house?
Because the loneliness comes in. Like a home theater would be cool, but I'd be in there by myself. That's tough. It would probably outdoor shit, like a full court or a half court at least.
like Steve Martin in The Jerk. We just had a room where a constant disco is going. There's just a disco in this room of people just in there dancing.
Hey, it's Faze Temper. What's up, Faze? Anyway,
you just I'm going go in and dance anytime you want to.
They clocking in and out like a job. But like, all right, my eight hours over, your turn.
I think I'll build an anime theater room.
I would love that. Yes.
Where like you're not just watching anime, but all the collectibles.
Are you gonna be
shit.
Real, Rod? You gonna be real?
Okay. I think that's what I would do. I mean, it's ridiculous and it's costly. I think I'd do that.
No. Seriously, if you're gonna go into anime, you need an entire room just to hold all your library of shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want it to be a theater, but also the collectible stuff is there too. Like, I want all of it. Like, I want to be able to watch it, but I want like the figures I've collected. I want the DVDs.
You want the Akira motorcycle sitting.
Yes,
in the
I want it
to
be like a museum where I also happen to watch my anime.
Okay.
I'm like, oh look, it's the motherfucking sword from Demon Slayer. Also, let's watch Demon Slayer.
All these pictures of him playing games.
Yeah.
It's never 2K.
Nope.
It's never an NBA game. It's always Call of Duty.
It's the only way you're gonna ever see him shoot. Oh, you know what else I would build? But this is like a secret. I had to build this shit like the way Batman built the Batcave, where you like kill everybody to help you build it. But you gotta get like a porno room. Like so like
just for porn.
You set everything up so you can just jack off at the highest level of jackability, you know what I mean? And comfort.
But isn't that like redundant to the anime room? I mean,
if it's hentai, that's different. But
it's a little crossover.
Right. It's a little crossover. I'm less collectibles in this room. I'm assuming. Less figurines, but
that sticky factor that you have to work in.
Yeah, like there's got to be some cleaning stuff happening. There's different needs of hidden compartments for all the items. Yeah, it's got to, but I need it to be like the Batcave type thing where like I put a number in on a clock and slide down a pole and then I'm in the heart of the Jackland, and then, you know, then when I'm ready to exit, you know, rehydrated and everything, someone else comes in and cleans it. It's self-cleaning or something, like a bathroom.
It's self-cleaning.
Right.
You just hit that one red button on the way out. Just
there's a butler outside with a warm, moist towel. Like
always, just always.
Right. Third time today, Master Morrow. That's been a busy day, Alfred. Thanks.
Yeah. Are you done with the masturbatorium?
Yeah.
The masturbatorium.
That's hilarious.
That shit probably exists.
Somebody quick Google it.
No, I don't want to.
I don't want
but
it
I,
to.
But it would be not surprising.
Somebody definitely got it.
You will not. Only... Now in a very special episode of like HTV's House Hunters.
The only thing that'll make it sad is if you build in a bunch of extra
rooms, an anime theater, and a masturbatorium.
The only thing that make it sad is if you build in a bunch of extra seats like Ben Simmons' gaming room and shit.
there's an article from 2022 that says Ben Simmons played Call of Duty for 23 straight hours.
He ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
While putting Joel Embiid on red.
Right.
Yeah. What else did he got? What else did he got to do?
This is when he was missing games because he was hurt. The playoffs last year,
and they thought he was hurt.
Yeah, they thought he might come back, and then he was playing Call of Duty for 23 consecutive hours.
He sent Doc Rivers the voicemail while he was killing Call of Duty.
Who's keeping tabs on his online activities?
There's a screenshot. I'm going to post the article up. I guess because his avatar, it tells you how long that account has been online. In this session. And so, first of all, this is him posing in front of his, once again, Call of Duty screen. No NBA 2K. This is, of course, he has an NFT as his profile picture.
Of course.
They put back issues in quote.
Right. This was May of 2022. I don't know what the sabasports.com is, but Ben Simmons' account was online for 23 hours and 3 minutes straight in that session. Now we're finding out exactly how Ben was keeping busy. Simmons apparently spent 23 hours straight playing Call of Duty.
Well, a tweet from user Broad Street Buddies. He might have just fallen asleep and left the thing open, just to be fair.
Yeah, I wonder if you can track whether they were actually active during that time, or maybe there's a different clock for
inactivity. I can see his stupid ass walking off and getting to turn the game off.
Maybe his back is hurting because he'd be in the gaming chair so long.
Right, exactly. Those things aren't very good.
Unless he's got like a rock solid portfolio, how does he not end up broke in like 10 years?
He just made so much. It would be hard for him to spend it all. I don't know. He could. He could.
Yeah, I think
it's not a super expensive hobby, gaming.
The ungodly amount that he got paid for not playing is he got paid superstar money.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
He probably made a profit on those houses when he sells them off. So.
Mm.
Yeah, or at least broke even. You know. There's so many articles about him playing Call of Duty. It comes up over and over again. Ben Simmons plays Call of Duty. This is from like a Sixers such and such blog. Ben Simmons plays Call of Duty with Chicago Huntsman's Hector Rodriguez. It's a whole different thing where he invited cameramen into his house to take pictures of him.
Oh, that's the one to prove that he lived some sad existence.
How fucked up would it be if we scroll down? There's a picture of him playing Call of Duty with Clarence Thomas.
No. Let's see,
Ben. Jenny. I think it'd be worse with Jenny.
And this is like again, Instagram stuff is him playing. He's going to other people's houses to play Call of Duty. Sitting next to them, they don't even look at each other the whole time. They're just looking straight ahead. It's such a bizarre.
The last two years, he's made over $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you imagine trying to like talk your wife into letting you build a game room that big in your house?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about him. He's unmarried.
Especially if it's going, I think I could convince Karen games too. So I could convince Karen to build a game room for two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it was a game room for all these niggas,
you
mean absolutely
you couldn't put
not.
20 chairs in? He ain't got no niggas, man. I mean, it's people.
Now, like I just said, if it's a game room for two, and you know, I get my stuff too, we good.
Yeah, but if it was like I might have six dudes come over for Call of Duty, it's not gonna happen.
You better get online.
Yeah.
Oh man, someone compiled his
headphones and learn how to talk to each other.
Someone compiled his Call of Duty stats next to his NBA stats. Ben Simmons allegedly holds embarrassing Call of Duty milestone his haters will love. And they can see his minutes played. Ben Simmons has more Call of Duty minutes played than in the NBA. Granted, it's easy to burn 2 hours at Call of Duty where a game you're playing 35 minutes. It's not a fair comparison, but he still has, as of this is whenever this was, September 2022.
But also, to be fair, Call of Duty only comes out like once a year.
Yeah.
Right.
So this motherfucker racked up more minutes playing Call of Duty in a year than he did in his entire NBA career.
Yeah, he wasn't playing.
Yep. And we don't even know how many, like if you add his hours in practice, would that exceed or would it still be below the threshold? Close.
He's not practicing.
He got to the NBA, realized he's not all about that, you know, competitive win at all costs life. He likes having money and you know, being a 20 something playing video games.
I know that's what having he's doing. Like four or five houses, that's a good way to not keep your money.
Yeah, everywhere he gets traded or signs, he buys a house.
Looks like
then he sells it.
Buys a house, probably remodels it.
Right. Because you gotta put all the gaming shit in there. That's
you gotta get your
brick
billionaire benefactors to buy you the house. You don't buy it yourself.
Yeah
Just become a Supreme Court justice and sell out, bro.
Yeah, just go talk to FaZe Clarence, you know, on your headset.
Larry Clarence.
I have a feeling he has a home and garden TV show coming up.
He's flipping houses.
Yeah.
Man, do you know how mad NBA fans would be if this nigga started a fucking TV show? before he played basketball again. He was home, home HGTV. Like, oh, yeah, it's Ben Simmons. We flipping houses.
Is he still on a team? He's still on a team, right?
Yeah, currently he's still on the Brooklyn Nets, and Jesus, he's pretending like he's gonna play.
He ain't gonna play.
Right, he's doing that thing where he's like, this summer, his gamer I'm time? Working.
You crazy.
I'm working on my game this summer.
I've seen so much footage of this dude in practice shooting threes at this point that it's comical. It's like an annual tradition, like a groundhog seeing his shadow. Like, it's the annual Ben Simmons actually shoots jumpers in practice tape.
Mm-hmm. In the game.
As soon as he gets to the game, he'd be like, y'all shoot it.
Yeah, and I want to see practice footage of him shooting twos as well, because he doesn't do that either. He just passes off 12 footers all the time.
It's like NBA Clutch Points always puts out one video of him shooting three threes in a row and be like, oh, this summer it might be on. Like,
right. No, I could do that.
No, it's not.
We don't believe you.
This is his latest Instagram post, and you see how he's
living
in the
his
gym.
Best life.
He's in the gym right now, getting ready for the season.
That's definitely not a video. That's a still shot, right?
Yeah. That's a still shot. That's a still shot of him shirt off, sweating. Just chumming up the water. He seems to have time.
He turned the comments off.
Of course.
Did he turn the comments off?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. You know they were lighting his ass up. You know.
It's 9 weeks ago. So he's got trainers behind him watching him. You know, he's ready.
Turn the comments off. It's so funny, man. he know they're going to roast him in the comments. Like, nigga, you ain't been to play no basketball.
Right. How does he have that height and not dunk? That's how I don't.
Oh, he dunks. He dunks can on people. Dunk,
but he does didn't he? Dunk that the one time they needed him to, he didn't.
Yeah.
Does he?
The one time they needed him to, he was afraid he'd get fouled and would have to shoot free throws. And that's what he doesn't like doing.
Got all his comments turned off. Look at this.
That shit derailed his whole career.
He'll dunk it if it's open, but if it's gonna mean a foul and free throws, he'll shy away.
Yep. Quarters 1 through 3, he'll dunk.
Right.
I mean, unless you need it, you know what I'm saying? He's good.
This is the most honest picture of him ever taken. Yeah. Smiling behind a sports car, like, yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit.
He looked like a scammer in this picture.
You know the problem with Ben Simmons is he does give a shit. That's the problem.
Oh, you mean, yeah, why he can't shoot?
Does give a shit. That's the problem. If he didn't give a shit, then
If you were to make this a video and him in that car and the window rolled up and then he drove off, it would make sense. Thanks, Daryl Morey.
I mean, he could have one of the all-time great careers. He can make a ton of money. He won't have chronic injuries when he's older. He won't have issues with his hips, knee replacements, back problems, and if he plays it right, he'll be set for life and live in this life forever. Not so bad.
If you only look at him as a celebrity, not a basketball player, he's winning.
Right,
he's rich, he's handsome, well liked, famous. He can get women. He got 17 mansions. Like, he played video games all day. He winning in life if you think about it, but.
I mean, so you know. If you take away the whole video game thing, he's basically Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
Pretty much.
He just needs to start him a brand selling goop or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Selling them hoop. Eggs.
Thank you, Keith.
Keith's right on time with hoop.
Hoop. Yeah, he kind of winning in life is just, you know, we know that he would like to be good at basketball.
Yeah, he ain't happy with any of it. That's the problem.
Well, I think basketball is the reason for his anxiety. So take that out of the equation. Right. He's probably very happy.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the pressure and he doesn't like the criticism. He's just not mentally built for a professional sport.
Yeah.
But physically he's able to make tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. And he's not going to find that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, it's like people are like, he should do something else. What? If I was him, I'd keep pretending I want to play basketball. as long as I could. I'd be 45, like, nah, man, I'm gonna start shooting this summer. I'm working on some threes.
Working on that jump shot.
Okay, let me go in my private gym and shoot three threes and put that shit on Instagram and see if I can get another contract.
Does he have a shoe deal?
He's wearing Nike in his picture. I don't think he has a deal though.
Boy. You know, you get fired like shit if you the one that signed Ben Simmons to that shoe contract.
Oh, he does have he has a Nike deal.
Oh, somebody. Oh, yeah. Somebody ain't got a job.
April.
What's his slogan? Don't do it.
Wait. This article is dated on April 1st, 2022. So it could be April Fool's.
No, his motto is, I guess you can.
Maybe.
Maybe question mark.
I'm going to get around to it.
Yeah.
I'll get to it.
Eventually.
One of these days.
Like the person that signed him like Miles Bridges. Like they just got a slew of fuck ups they signed and shit in the NBA.
They gonna black all themselves. It's like, no.
His Nike slogan is just leave me alone. Yeah. It apparently has a 3-year deal with Nike. I don't know if that's an April Fool's joke, but there's other places that reported it too.
I'll do it. Gosh.
Probably a small deal compared to like a real superstar.
Well, I mean, it's probably a smart deal because they don't have to send him as many pairs of shoes since he's not playing.
he doesn't go through shoes.
Yeah.
The cost is low.
Yeah, you never have to worry about him getting injured in your shoes.
It's like four pairs a year. That's
right. Yeah. Like when you got Zion Williamson, you have to design a complete shoe around his body because if he gets hurt in your shoes, everybody's going to be like, see, I told you those fucking Nikes. But with Ben Simmons, he ain't playing. You don't give him any shoes.
He wears it. He just has a shoe to sit on the sideline.
His signature shoe is a slide. Like that's what he's...
You just go down to the Nike outlet and get him some shoes.
Shoe is the Gamer 3000. That's his shoe.
Right.
Got the game. I'm wearing the Gamer 3000.
Keeps the circulation going in your feet when you're sitting in your gamer chair for like, 23 hours.
Exactly.
No one's ever walked into the Foot Locker and asked for a pair of Air Simmons.
Nope. Air Simmons, you got those Soul of Duties? Got those?
This motherfucker here.
Yeah, well, but he's living his best life. So
first of all, Larry, before we bring this home, because y'all got things to do, Larry, tell the people about your CD. This is for the freeloader section, Larry. So you left people.
Oh, yeah. I got a new CD coming out. It's called
Larry's a fantastic comedian, y'all. He's been on the podcast before. That's why he's here today. He's got a CD. Take it away, brother.
Yep. It's coming out September 15th on CD Baby and iTunes. I got a CD release show the day after at Rock Bottom in Bethesda. That's probably going to sell out, I hope. And it's just me just working out some...
It's called Larry XL. You're Larry XL. It's called Don't Get Comfortable, right?
Yeah.
The new CD? Yep. Okay.
When is the release party? What's the date of that?
It's a release show, September 16th at Rock Bottom in Bethesda.
What day is September 16th?
That's a Saturday.
Oh, is that Kurt Shackelford's spot?
Yep.
Okay. So mark that date on your calendars, stream it, buy it. If you want Layer to get more money, buy it. But it,
yeah, I might, it. I think I might do this thing at the show where like, if you show me that you bought any of my CDs off of iTunes that night, I will give you a physical copy of the new CD.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then, I'm looking at because I think Tanya said you have music as well.
Yeah, I have a musical project called Scorn Star. I haven't done any new music for that yet, but I'm probably going to go in the studio before the year's end and knock out some new music, because one of the things I did this year that was really fun was a musician buddy of mine. He works at this bar called Zissimos in Hamden. And the first Wednesday of every month, he does what's called a tribute night. So basically the thing is musicians can show up, but it's like a minimal instrumentation thing. So like one night they did a Prince tribute. And so I showed up and did a medley of Prince songs, but I did it electronically. So I loaded everything into like a sampler and like did a trio of Prince songs, and I liked the way it turned out. So I'm gonna go in the studio and knock out that cover. But everybody else that showed up, they were showing up like with like acoustic guitars and stuff like that, and like acoustic instruments. And so it was a very singer song.
Anybody else white by any chance?
No, mostly, but
mostly white.
Guitars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but yeah, so. And I got some original songs I want to knock out too. So that I got some more music coming down the pike, hopefully before the end of the year.
All right. So a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, September 16th.
15th is the day that the album drops. And 16th, I'm doing a performance in Bethesda at Rock Bottom.
Okay. Nice. Are you doing a pre-sale on CD Baby for the album?
Yeah. The pre-sale starts August 25th.
Okay.
The pre-sale starts in about 2 weeks. The pre-sale starts.
Okay. You can buy it on iTunes pre-sale, and then all those will count as day one sales. So you can push Larry to the top of the chart on the day his album comes out.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe like, I don't know, like somebody else will come out and
Jim Gaffigan or something.
Yeah. Jim Gaffigan or like, you know,
another special.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff, and I'm on my 19th.
Like Willie Robo will probably put out something that weekend. Just
Willie Robo.
I just saw Willie Robo sighting on somebody's Facebook page.
He did the Comedy Facebook Factory
page. Yeah,
Comedy Factory recently.
I haven't seen him in forever. Willie Robo.
Yep.
Willie Robo. There's
Willie Robo. DC's own, right?
The name out of the past. So let's wrap it up with this. Anybody got any thoughts on this young man being handcuffed? Young man, and there I did it too. This boy being handcuffed, and I don't even know the town that it's in.
Was it somewhere like in the Midwest or something?
Yes.
Indiana, maybe? No, Michigan. Was it Michigan? Lansing police apologize after 12-year-old boy handcuffed, mistaken for man.
Yeah.
It was a fit the description situation. Mistaken for man wanted for auto thefts.
He's 12.
Yeah.
There's a video that made the rounds.
I'll play the video. I don't know.
It's not in this article anyway, but basically the video kind of, you know how these stories go. The video goes viral and then it shines a light on the situation. And then the police, you know, apologize.
But here's what the police captain said, the thing that caught my attention. He said, well, we just want to put this wrong place, wrong time incident behind us. I'm like, no, he was in the right place.
He's at home.
He was taking the trash out in the middle of the day.
Right.
That's the right place, the right time. He was in the right place at the right time. So if that's when's the right place and the right time, take your trash out.
Yeah. So some neighbor is like apartment complex. Some neighbors out on their balcony started recording after the kid had been, I think he'd already been put in cuffs at that point. And the father comes out and he's talking to the cops, and they put the kid in the cop car, then they let him out eventually. Again, he's 12 years old. And a neighbor caught the incident on a cell phone after uploading it to social media, got millions of views and reactions from people questioning police actions. Bernard, who's the kid, didn't want to go on camera, said he's heartbroken. All right, it's his kid's father. Heartbroken over his son being detained. I was mad about it because I was like, my son would never break any law. So I rushed out and asked the cop, what's the problem? Why do you have my son in cuffs just like that? And if you watch the video, he does mention also that, like, regardless of anything else, you're traumatizing this kid.
Exactly.
Right.
You can't take that. You can't just say sorry, kid, and take that back. You know, they put him in the back of a police car, kept him in handcuffs for a while, ultimately let him go, obviously. After dumping trash in a dumpster, he was approached by a police officer who had his gun unholstered and was holding it in front of him. So he had the gun out.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Here's the thing. So he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. The kid doesn't get that. The kid doesn't get that back. He doesn't get any of that back. He doesn't get that trauma back. So all I can surmise, the conclusion I come to from watching this and watching everything happening, is that America doesn't care that this type of thing has happened.
Mm-mm.
That's all I can surmise. That's my takeaway from it. America doesn't care.
It's the cost of doing quote unquote business.
Yeah. I mean, and like even if it had gone more horribly wrong, they still wouldn't have cared.
Nope. Yeah, because as a child, that child could have did anything. And, you know, because it's a child. Run, got afraid, anything, fight, flight, kick in, anything could happen. I mean, it's a child. And, you know, you shoot and kill him, we only going to hear your side of the story.
Yeah. And even now,
we've seen everything. My question
side of the story is wrong place, wrong time. So
They don't care. They don't care about.
Yeah. My question is this. Like, what? They don't get it, and they probably, they've shown us time and time again they never will fully grasp the consequences of those, like, you know, very biased actions. So, like, what would it take to, like, act, you know, like, what seismic event would it take for them to like drill that point home and make them fully understand what they're doing?
What would it take?
Yeah, what would it take? Like,
I don't know. I think people have tried 1,000 different things. I don't know. There's things that
foundational problem is white supremacy and racism, and until you fix that, this problem will not go away.
Right.
Yeah. But you're going to need to rebel, people.
Right.
Well, it's not a we.
It needs
not
to come.
We need a lot more folding chairs, I think.
No, yeah. It's like,
we can say that all you want,
but basically they're not going to see that as like, oh, we had that ass whipping coming. No, they're going to see that as a call for them to escalate. They're already like way beyond like reason, you know.
Oh, yeah, I was just joking. I'm not actually gonna hand out folding chairs to everybody else.
Right.
America doesn't care. So anytime I see this, that's all I think. I'm like, well, America doesn't care.
Literally
doesn't care.
There's never an occasion
here's like my real thoughts though. I think
What did that evil boy do to those nice policemen?
First of all, what did he have on? Okay, let's get to the brass tacks. Okay, he's no angel. I think a lot of this shit is because it seems unrelated, but it's very related. We've let guns run amok. We're the only fucking country like this
in the world,
on the fucking planet. We're the only country, and it's not that racial animus has nothing to do with it. It's racism other places. But where the police are so fucking weaponized to just roll up and shoot a motherfucker, and then our justice system will always defend it. And it's always because they have that one fucking weapon that's undefeated, which is, I was scared for my life. How can you be scared for your life from a 12-year-old? Because we always throw out that in the undergirding everything in America is this idea of like, guns are out here and they could have got me. And so as a cop, I made a promise to my family to come home every night. And so they abuse people behind that shit, because at the end of the day, that's a Teflon excuse.
Well, they don't.
But here's the thing. Unless that fear for your life excuse goes both ways.
Right.
Then it should never will.
It does not.
It and never
they
don't will.
Abuse people. Yeah. They abuse us.
Yeah.
Weeping.
Well, no. Let's like keep it a buck. American cops kill everybody lot. It's disproportionately black. Right. White people dumb as fuck for going along with this shit, because they killing y'all too.
Yes, they are.
But their threshold for catching a bullet is a lot higher than ours.
Exactly. But once you catch the bullet, you caught the bullet.
A
dead white person, they relatives and family care about them too. It's just like white people that vote Republican and end up losing benefits in Alabama, right? They're in their mind, they're like, but they got the niggers not getting the money, and they're okay with it because those black people aren't getting it. I think cops very much in America get by on the same racial animus from a lot of white population, where they have apathy because in their minds they're like, yeah, maybe every once in a while one of us will get killed for going over the line, but in general we're not getting killed as often, so we're gonna be okay with police running amok like a military force occupying a foreign country.
Yeah, the cycle always goes, maybe there's some wrongdoing found, a check, it gets cut that comes from taxpayers.
Yep.
And then no policies change and it happens again.
They sacrifice like one officer a year.
Right.
So like, he shouldn't have did that. And it's like, well, what about the other 3,000 people that got shot this year? Like, oh, we got that one.
The ones that do sacrifice end up getting relocated, like it's a witness protection program.
Right.
And resurface somewhere else with a job.
Like, I think once a year a cop goes to prison. That's the trade-off in America. Like once a year. Like in Charlotte, we had one. George Floyd, you got one. Like, I bet you if you look into
But like, the least they could do is like do it like the Wicker Man or something like that. You know, like instead of having it like symbolically, actually have it, you know, actually in reality sacrificed.
Right. Yeah. Send some bees on his ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so it's wild because I feel like we are in this unspoken covenant with racism and guns in America. And that shit justifies. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just the edibles talking, but a lot of this shit feel really related to the fact. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody asked, like, why we weren't so surprised by like COVID and why we were okay with all these people dying. And I said, I think it's because we let guns kill so many people. Mm-hmm. Once we got the mass shootings and it don't move us no more. What does it matter if 30 people died by COVID today or 30 people died going to school? Used to it in America.
Yeah. Well, like how is this pile of bodies different from the other pile of dead bodies from last week or the other pile of dead bodies from the week before the next pile of dead bodies is going to come next week?
We don't care, dog. Like they was trying to
exist because of the racism. That's why all the guns.
Yeah. It all goes back to the racism.
All the racism.
Yeah. My point is once you let the guns
when the race war starts.
Once you let the guns out the door, because America not the only place that's racist. We the only place that was like unlimited guns for everybody.
Okay. I saw this article. There's this black family. They're like, all right, we're tired of America. We're going to relocate somebody else. Well, it's where there's less racism. And where'd they go? Italy. I'm like, excuse me, Italy?
Yeah. Italy.
The people that chant like monkeys at black players during soccer games. That
they racism got that oregano on it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
a little spicy.
A little different.
Red pepper flakes, like,
aromatic racism.
It's like my aunt Desi's Ebola said, you know, the racism in Britain, which is very racist, but it's an inconvenience to you. The racism here will kill you. That's the difference. The racism.
And part of that is they ain't got no guns.
Right. Because if they had them, they would shoot them too.
Like, I guarantee you that's part of it. Like, I guarantee you France racist. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, France is.
Right. France racist. But if you can't
stuff like that,
it's a different type of racism. If I ain't worried about you killing me, it's like, okay, so you don't like me because of color of my skin. Suck my dick. But here it's like, you say suck my dick. Now you on the news because you in handcuffs and you 12.
I mean, the most you're going to get is a stabbing. Like I said, I've never heard of a mass stabbing. By the time you get to that second or third person, nigga, you tired.
Right. And they have they have neo-Nazi groups in Europe and they're operating the way they do in other countries. But the level of the threat of violence is there, but the level of violence is a lot different. And
it's like for us in America. If you watch anime, right? If you watch Dragon Ball Z, we basically dealing with like the fucking weighted clothes, the super gravity of American racism. And I see why black people go other places and be like, man, it's not bad over here. Cause our racism is so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
If you just turn down the racism a little bit in Britain, I bet you'd be like, man, shit, I could do whatever I want out here.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying, when you take away the threat of death and replace it with scones, racism is a little bit more tolerable.
I think so.
Right.
Like, I'm legit thinking, like, okay, so if something happened, Trump win, I could go some other place. It's really not worth being here to figure this shit out. Like,
last week, the friend of my wife's there moving to Dubai.
And Dubai scary as shit.
Right.
And Dubai is scary as shit.
Have Dubai money?
Anyone out here listening across the world listening right now. Listen to what this black man just said. So
think about what that, think about, like I say, you think about what that means to him. Yeah, it's bad. Ain't as bad as America.
Bruh. We just read an article where a black woman, a black woman who's like a influencer had got locked up in, Sassy Trucker got, she just got let go to go home.
Yeah.
And she got put in jail for, she got scammed and she yelled at the people that scammed her. And they was like, that's against the law, bitch. You going to jail. They put her in jail. And listen, we are still like, I don't know, man. I could move to Dubai.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I just won't yell at nobody.
I learned how to use my inside voice. Just fuck it, man. It's better than motherfucking the white nationalists doing parades every fucking week.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And being completely out in the open about it.
Yeah. I'm going to be up in the rental place like, you're going to give me my motherfucking money back, motherfucker. I'll burn this bitch down.
Got to do the Bernie Mac firm handshake. That's what you do. Just squeeze the hand and hope no one starts yelling.
All right, y'all. That's a gonna get him out the door. Thanks, guys, for coming in with us today. We appreciate
We never talked. We never did feedback last week or this week, so maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll just do it next week. And also, someone in the chat sent us the link. I'll save it for next week. Vivek Ramaswamy is now doing Lose Yourself at campaign events.
Yeah, I just saw that. Fuck that dude, man.
Because they pulled up a clip of him doing that in college to dunk on him. He was like, "I'll do it again. I don't care. Lose yourself." And he just, that's his thing now. That guy's a ridiculous grifter. It's but fuck yeah.
That dude.
So
I'll Larry for sitting in with us today.
As thanks always. For having me.
Thanks, Rod and Karen, as always. Larry, the door is always open. Just let us know when you're trying to get in.
Okay.
Come on. The door's always
nice open. Nice me, Larry. I think this nice might be the first time we was on the show podcast with you, man.
Thank you. Cool. It's nice to meet you, baby.
Very fun.
Nice to meet you, too.
And also for those listening, we're doing a live show here in Charlotte, North Carolina, September the 9th. Tickets are on sale, virtual and online. It's at the Knights Theater here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, you can get tickets at the Blumenthal Theater for Performing Arts website.
Remember, there is a virtual online show. So grab them tickets up.
Yep.
It's September 9th.
September 9th, 3 p.m. It's a Saturday. So if y'all, aren't doing anything or, y'all want to hop off of Three Guys On and go directly to our live show, do that shit that Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah. Anybody in the Charlotte area, I highly recommend driving across the border into South Carolina, going to Fort Mill, South Carolina, going to the Pucker Butt Pepper Company and getting some hot sauce.
Pucker Butt Pepper Company.
I've never heard of them.
Hold on, Larry. Now you're speaking my language, Larry. Hold on now. what kind of hot sauce? Is it a flavor range. Hot sauce or is it just one of these endurance hot sauces?
Both. They got like stay away from the Carolina Reaper sauces. All right. Okay. Those I can't even get near. They're so aggressively hot. That's a company that breeds the Carolina Reaper sauces, but anything that's like based on the Carolina Reaper, approach with caution because that might put you in the hospital. But they got some really amazing flavorful.
Okay.
Yeah, see, painfully hot. Oh, it
says painfully hot. No, thank you.
I'm a flavor guy. I'm not a painful hot guy.
I'm a medium to the green.
Masochist. Yeah. You want masochist sauces?
Like come anytime on. They start naming the hot sauce companies intimidating things like Pucker, but I gotta ask questions.
Yeah. Right? I once saw a hot sauce, like it was called Ass in the Tub hot sauce.
Oh,
why am I doing that? Why am I eating that? Why am I
right. Why, ass wait,
Dr. Ray's butt
ass in the tub.
Why am I eating that? There's no reason. All right, y'all. Pucker Butt. Check it out. Pucker Butt
Pepper Company. They grow their own peppers.
Yep.
We have to check them out. That's near us.
Check it out. See what they got going on. Maybe you want to put your ass in a tub.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Make a song called Wet Ass Ass.
All right, so y'all come on back. We will be here for you on Monday. Thank you to everybody coming in. Love y'all. We're going to do the same sequence we just did. All right, here we go. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Larry XL.
Karen Morrow.
I'm Rod Morrow.
And I'm Brother Mark.
Hey, we are two for two. We need a Mike B sighting.
Getting the hang of it.
Three guys on.
And we are out. Pucker butt.